to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us. Hello, and welcome to this episode of People Like Us. And in today's episode, I'm pleased to be joined by Aman Singh. Aman, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello, Jen. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure. And as always, as I always do now, straight into the first question, tell me about where you grew up.
Oh, that question, the dreaded question. It's very heavy. So I guess I'll start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I was born into a Indian diplomatic family. So I was just a couple of months old when my father got posted to Spain, Madrid. And I spent there around 4 years of my early childhood. In fact, that's where I started to speak Spanish fluently, even before I spoke Hindi or English. So my parents had to communicate in Spanish with me just to like see where I'm at. After 4 years in Spain, my father got posted to Sofia, Bulgaria. And this is like, I'm going into first grade, second grade. First time I saw snow, I also remember playing a lot, running around a lot, and seeing kids from other different nationalities. It was an American school that I went to, so that was interesting. Then my father got posted back to India, and that was a huge culture shock for me because I went to a school that was completely dominated by Indians. And even though like I look like an Indian, I don't feel like an Indian, like on the inside. And there, I think you could say that was my real first culture shock, or reverse culture shock in this case, that I experienced, where like I just didn't fit in well. After that, like after 3 years or 4 years staying in India, my father got posted in Mexico. Now Mexico holds like a very special place in my heart because of two reasons. It was the first place like where I felt at home, where I was at my like adolescent age, like I was just in my early teens, and I had a good friend. I was into sports, I was into football, I was really active. But then on the other hand, there was this huge crisis that happened with my family. Like I had an older brother who committed suicide in 2005. So there's that too.
I'm sorry.
It is what it is. Anyways, so my parents moved after from Mexico to Myanmar in 2006. And that was a huge culture shock again, because Mexico City is like a very, very modernized industrialist like city. And then when you go to Yangon, it's like, you know, it's very, you could see the vast difference. Like there wasn't much to do in terms of activities, or it was like a lot of rural ground, and you had to just like hang out with the people that you met in school, and that was not too fun. So I just kind of forced myself into like football. Like I just lost myself into football. Like used to go to trainings, playing football for school and all that kind of stuff. Then after graduating my high school in Myanmar at an American school, Then I went to the US for my college experience. I took Spanish as my major and sociology as a minor. And I went to liberal arts college in Pennsylvania called Elizabethtown College. Shout out Bluebirds. And then after that, my parents though from Myanmar, they moved to Denmark. So on winters and summers, I would visit them. You could say I've stayed there in Denmark, if you count out all those months, like about a year. So yeah, there was that. But it was like just like a pit stop because, oh, the semester ended, now I have to go to Denmark and visit my parents. I had no friends, no social contacts. And after Denmark and after I finished my BA, my parents moved to Mauritius. And I went to master's school or master's to do my master's in Vermont at School of International Training Graduate Institute in Brattleboro. And after I've completed that, I went back to my parents, to live with my parents in Mauritius. And that brings us to 2017, when I decided that I would try to do what my father does and become a foreign service officer and try to give the civil service exam in India. But it's really tough and I really found it hard. So I tried it twice and with no luck. But then I started to like work in NGOs and government organizations. So that's where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Thank you for sharing. And also, let me please acknowledge the share that about your brother. I'm sorry. And I can appreciate you have very mixed feelings about Mexico. You spoke of it being the first place that you felt at home, but then the awful crisis happening. So right. Out of those places, and I understand now you're back in India, where feels like home for you?
That's a very tough question because I used to think that was Mexico for me. But when I was in college, when I was doing my degree in Spanish, I had a chance to revisit Mexico. But it didn't feel the same. It didn't feel like home, like the way I used to think it would. So that kind of like lost its touch on me. So I feel like home is wherever my parents are. And right now my parents are in Norway, in Oslo, Norway. So there's that. But other than my parents, home is wherever I am, I would say. That makes sense.
So your parents having a strong role in your life still. So
yeah.
You spoke briefly about your move to India. So from India to Spain to Bulgaria, and then almost back to India, and you touched on that feeling of
Sorry, I wanted to correct you there. Like from Spain, we went directly to Bulgaria and then India.
So Spain to Bulgaria and then India, and you mentioned not really feeling like an Indian and touching on reverse culture shock there. So how old were you at that time?
I must be in third grade. I don't know how old one is in third grade. I forget. Maybe like 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old.
And when you say you didn't feel like an Indian, I'm sure many listeners will be able to resonate with not feeling like the thing that they're kind of supposed to be.
I wanted to add, like, I thought because there was such a gap when I went to Mexico and when I came back to India in 2017, I thought I would finally adjust like an Indian way of life because now I'm much older, I'm an adult, and that time I was a kid. But I have to say, it's still like very, you know, it's like there's India and there's me, and then we're like constantly fighting, and then, you know, like on ideas and like how should be and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Do you speak local languages?
Yes, so I do speak Hindi and I do converse. Like, I have Indian friends, but then sometimes even they say, you know, I acknowledge where you're coming from and I really respect that your point of view, but in our culture, we don't do this or we don't do that. So, you know, it's nice that you're thinking like that, but don't sweat, nothing will change. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something along those lines, and like, okay. Or I also got stares like, oh, you're just so weird, like the way you think. Or because sometimes I would just, if somebody's like talking something very local, like very mundane to me, mm-hmm. I would just like zone out and I'll just start thinking about other things. Or people are like, oh, I was talking to you, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I just zoned out. And because there's, it's like people who live here have so much to talk about, that set experience that they lived in a place for such a long time. They grew up, they have memories, and I respect that, but I can't relate to it on a, like that level.
Mm.
So that's where I'm an outlier. That's just an example. I also don't like cricket, which is a huge sport in India. I was like, it's really boring. I just don't, yeah, I don't follow it.
It's not in your blood then.
Yeah, my father is a huge fan and I am not. I'm like, when the World Cup was happening, he tells me, hey, can you put it on TV? I was like, okay, here's the control. It's on here and I'm leaving the room. You know, I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned about sort of following the footsteps of your father, the diplomat. So right. How much do you think your TCK upbringing has influenced your career choices?
I don't know about career choices because I'm still in like those muddy waters of like to see where I'm at. Because I, like, since the beginning, like, my parents, like, had ingrained in me, like, you can be, like, a diplomat, too. So I used to think, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. I'm just going to be a diplomat. I don't need to think about it. But, and that's why I took Spanish in college. I thought that would help me to, like, they'll look good on the resume or, like, to say, oh, he did Spanish and, you know, he's, like, kind of worldly. So, you know, it will help my cause. But then when I come here and I see like you're basically, you know, you're on the same footing as all the other Indian children. And then like, so there's a basic test, like test about India, like geography or the Indian political science or the history, which I have no knowledge about, or I didn't have knowledge. So like I had to do a lot of reading or learning, but then like I was not really interested in those subjects. Like I didn't like, I don't know, maybe that's why I couldn't clear the first preliminary like test because I was like so out of it. But yeah, it's a shame that the Indian Foreign Service don't like cater the children of the Indian foreign officials to better degree. But then again, if they did, then it would be like just like, you know, like only the kids of the foreign officials who still be in that position, no new blood would come in. I understand where they're coming from, but I don't know. Yeah, so that's where I'm at.
It sounds like another example of perhaps not fitting in and not conforming to the sort of monocultural norms.
Right, I would definitely say that. Like, initially I did think, like, when I was applying, you know, for the examination, I was like, I definitely have this upper hand. I've been so many countries, or maybe this is my arrogance or something, or pride that came in the way. But and then once you go sit in the exam, you're like, oh my God, this is totally different ballgame. just, whoa. Yeah, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Because when my father became a diplomat, like, he was not a TCK. Like, he spent his, like, 20 years in India in that same household with his parents and, like, his friends. So did my mom. And then he became a diplomat. So, like, he had a strong foundation. He knew how to get around the Indian-ness, I would say.
So what was it like for you when you were a little bit older and you went to the US for college? How was it in terms of fitting in there? And not,
right.
Must have been asked the question, where are you from?
Right. So at that time, in 2009, there was that famous movie came out, Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I went to college in 2010. So when I went to college, they said, oh, Indian. So, like, then they equated that with me with that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just, like, rip jokes on myself just to, like, gain their affection, or, like, I'm not this weird kid, like, I can make fun of myself and also all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To that effect, the American people really started liking me, which was completely new for me. And I still, that's like I told you that in Mexico, it was a time where I felt I fit in. And I think the second time when that happened was when I went to college in the States. It's like they knew what I was talking about. Like, if my jokes were sarcastic or if I was being serious, it took me seriously. Like, other than the US, like, I felt like really fish out of the water, in the sense, like, maybe some of my jokes wouldn't land, or some of my, if I was trying to be serious or trying to convey a point, they would think, oh, you just, you know, like, they would just brush me aside. But yeah, that was, yeah, it was definitely a treat going to the US for the first time.
How much of it do you think was helped by the fact that you'd been to an American school?
I that's the thing. I was just going to say that, like, when I was a kid, like, in these international schools, it was either I was in an American international school or a British international school. So there was two school systems that I was in and out of. At the time, because there were, like, so many kids from, like, different diplomats, you know, like, there are people that I was friends with, like, Chinese people or the Portuguese or the Brazilian, and you just don't think about it. You just feel like, oh, that's just normal.
Mm.
And then once you are out of that, like, bubble, that international school bubble, then you feel, oh, wow, I was really privileged, you know, to realize, like, wow, that was really unique and yeah, special, I would say. Because at the time, I was like, oh, this is just normal. There's no, like, I feel, yeah, this is, yeah. But once I got to India, and then everyone, like, went to the Indian school systems, and then they were, like quoting, you know, milestones within the Indian school system, which I had no relation to. I was like, whoa, yeah, I don't even know how I can tell these guys, like, you know, I know a person from there or there or there, you know. Like, even now, sometimes, like, my relatives will say, like, hey, you know, like, come over to our place and have dinner or something. I'll be like, no, I have this call, and I'm playing video game with my friend who is in Sweden, or, like, I have this conference call in the US. So, you know, to me, that's just, like, preparing logistics. But to the, maybe, you know, other person, they're like, oh, wow, this guy's, you know, pretty international. Ah.
Yeah, that sounds like the classic example of what I refer to as the bragging line, where we're just talking about our everyday lives and what's normal to us, but people who haven't experienced that often think that we're bragging, which...
Right, that's so true. And I'm like, I'm not bragging, it is what it is.
That's
I wish
annoying.
Like everyone was around me like for 5 kilometers in like 5 kilometer radius, and that would be that, but it's not.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, so how do you keep in touch with people? Obviously, you've lived in different places, so you'll know people from different places, and you've had that international upbringing of going to school with people who also were not from the country that you were living in. So how do you stay in touch?
Well, I've been fortunate because, like some of your previous podcasts, like I hear like people in like the 80s and 70s, they have to like communicate via mail and like fax or something like very...
That was me.
Telegram, right. But like I have the privilege that I grew up in social media era where you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're an email, so like you can just message them right away. Everything's more connected now, which I feel that's really nice. So yeah, technology plays a huge role, definitely.
Yeah, I'm from the generation of when we moved from one country to another, the way to stay in touch was good old snail mail. And listeners will be...
I remember my father was telling me like, go tell, like ask your friends or their mothers, like, where's their permanent address so we can send them mail once we're like get to our new place. And I was thinking like, what are you talking about? Like, why do I need his address? Like at the time I was very small. I didn't know, but now I understand what he was saying. No, but almost all my friends I have, I'm in contact through Facebook. Mm-hmm. There's also this notion like, how social media is kind of dangerous and like you shouldn't overdo it or it's not good for the psyche.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if I remove social media, like I have no friends. 90% of social media, like hey, what's up? Are you doing good? Oh, okay, you just had a kid. All right, that's cool. And that's it. Just checking in. So I wouldn't have that.
Yeah, what about seeing them in person? I mean, many TCKs have really felt the travel restrictions that have been imposed on us during the global pandemic.
COVID.
How's that been for you?
Very harsh, I would say, very harsh. There's a wedding, one of my best friend's wedding is coming up on like sometime in August, and I can't go because of COVID restrictions. And I'm also not fully vaccinated. So I'm really bummed about that. But yeah, some of my friends, we tried to like in 2020, like one of my friends, like we organized a trip, like let's go to some place in South Asia. But then as you know, COVID happened and then that just fell through. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really, really angry at COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what can you do? You have technology, you have FaceTime, you just use it.
Yeah. And as we're here talking now on Zoom as well.
So. Right. Or Zoom. Yeah. Exactly.
So thinking ahead then, and certainly post the current situation we're in with this pandemic, what does the future hold for you?
I used to not like my life in terms of like moving around constantly. I used to tell my mother like, can we just stay here just for once? Or like, can we just like settle down, like let my father go abroad? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, we have to go. But then towards that, like, I feel like there's some kind of, I learned to love it. And like, I think I long for like moving around, change of scenario? Because one thing I noticed is like keep changing scenarios every 3 or 4 years. Like you get new perspective and new like kind of lease on life, because it's like you keep updating yourself, which I learned to like a lot. And there's also sometimes like you have to stand your ground and like people where you feel like you're at home, but you still have to say your point, and then whether they take it or don't take it, that's on them, which I learned that's a good skill to do. Saying that, so I in the future, I would like to keep traveling around and like living in different parts of the world in some capacity. But I also like stability. There's that too.
That sounds like the classic conundrum for the TCK. Should I stay or should I go now?
Right. That song, should I stay or should I go now, right? Yeah, because I never experienced stability more than like 4 years. I think, whoa, this is weird. Actually, I think for the first time, like this year will be my fourth year in India in a continuous way. And if I make it to 50 in 5 years, this would be the first time I stayed in a place for 5 years, which is something rare.
How does that feel when you say it out loud, 5 years?
Like as a TCK, that's like, I'm deteriorating, I'm becoming more of the Indian person, I guess, or I don't know, maybe I'm just I'm losing my edge.
But to keep moving, I mean, I understand that that's, you know, a pattern that we've grown up with, and many TCKs who I speak with get restless. One recently referred to it as the 3-year itch, sort of wanting to change things like in a sort of 3-year cycle, whether that be relationships, career, place to live.
Right.
When I think of doing that continually, to me, that sounds kind of tiring to be on this sort of continuous cycle of, you know, rinse and repeat and off we go again. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, it is very tiring, because not only like the emotional side, but also like a lot of logistics you have to keep in mind, like packing, unpacking, like where to send the address, then your shipment doesn't come after like 2 or 3 months. So like my parents still haven't got their shipment from India to Norway. I think they'll be getting it in like next week, and they've been gone since April. So there's that. And then like, okay, how do I, because my biggest thing about TCK is like I need to get my hands dirty, if I could, you know, use that phrase. It's like I need to know what people here are like, so I like to hear people's stories like a lot. And sometimes they just say, hey, you know, the government here is like this or that, or like, you know, I'm really career oriented and I really want to make money. So I'm like, okay, maybe people here are like this or like that. It just gives you a sense of how the culture kind of leans on, which I really like to do. Like you said, yeah, it is very tiring to be on that, you know, hamster wheel of just like moving, changing places. That's why I say like, yeah, stability would be really nice. Having said that, I would say like some of my closest friends, like I know a friend like from middle school, we're still good friends from Mexico. We've been friends since like 18 years now, and I think our friendship is so strong. So there is stability in relationships, even though we've been moving around.
Yes,
which is nice.
Stability where you look for it.
Exactly.
Aman, we're almost out of time, and it's as always been a pleasure having this conversation with you. And I do like to wrap up these conversations on a positive note. So with that, would you like to tell me about one of the things you've enjoyed the most about being a TCK?
I think in being a TCK, because the need to assimilate was so strong within me, every place I went, so I turned to humor, because I feel like humor is like a universal thing. You can do physical humor, or like, you know, and then there's like other types of humor. So when I was a little kid, I remember I would get in trouble in class because I wanted to make the class laugh. And then teacher was like, obviously would send me out of the room. And I thought to myself, why did I do that? I was like, well, I just wanted to assimilate. I just wanted to be part of the culture, like, mm-hmm. accept me, you know? And that has sprung in me this love for comedy that, you know, like I still like it. I still, you know, see stand up and all that jazz. But yeah. So yeah, thank you TCK for that, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, to lean on to that.
That's brilliant. Yeah. A smile is a beautiful thing.
Yes, yes, totally. Because like if the other person is laughing, they can't, like, you know, no negative feelings will come from them towards me. That's what I learned.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, he's a cool guy. Yeah, it's fine. He's chill. Yeah.
For sure.
So there's that. That's what I'm grateful for TCK and the variety of perspectives and angles and all that kind of jazz too. But
yeah,
humor definitely up there.
Brilliant. Aman, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so nice chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Jen. It's been very lovely again from here too.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group, and you're very welcome to join us.